Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Showcase studio on North Michigan Avenue. And joining me on the phone is former U.S. Transportation Secretary, former Republican Congressman from Peoria, Ray LaHood. Mr. Secretary, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Good morning, Rick. Good to be with you again.
It's too bad you can't be here with me on Michigan Avenue. We just saw a guy go by with a cheese head, obviously the Bears-Packers playing today.
Right.
And I remembered I actually have a cheese head at home signed by Howard Dean.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Because Howard Dean had declared if he didn't win Wisconsin, he was getting out of this race. So I etched that on the cheese head and had him autograph it. And
yeah, great memorabilia.
He did not win Wisconsin.
No. Yeah.
Well, I'm again, thanks for being on the show. And
thank you.
We spoke together out at Aurora University last week about the state of politics and the state of our politics today. And Secretary LaHood has authored a book, Seeking Bipartisanship, My Life in Politics, and we'll put a link to that. You can get it from Amazon and other booksellers. But one of the essential themes of this is about just how politically polarized and the lack of civility that we have in politics today. And it's kind of, we've seen it kind of span from the time that you were in Congress and all the way through being a member of President Obama's cabinet.
Yeah, you know, Rick, I think the best example of the lack of bipartisanship is what's going on in Washington today with the tax bill, where in the House this week, the House Ways and Means Committee, on a totally party-line vote, voted out a huge, huge tax cut bill. It comes to the House floor this week, probably Tuesday or Wednesday. It'll be a party-line vote. The Republicans will pass it. But your listeners who remember the day when Dan Rostenkowski, was chair of Ways and Means and worked with President Reagan in 1986 and took the time to work with the Republicans and Bob Michael, who was Republican leader. They passed a tax bill and they did it in a bipartisan way. And you know, those days are gone. And when you do legislation in a bipartisan way and you include members of the legislative body from both parties, it makes for good legislation. It makes for long-lasting legislation, and we're just not there today. We simply are not.
And to be fair, and you touch on this in your book, that you think one of the mistakes in the Obama administration was doing the one party only on Obamacare.
I do, Rick. I think that it became clear during President Obama's the first 2 years of his first term, the Congress under Democratic control, Pelosi in the House and Harry Reid from Nevada in the Senate, they had the votes to pass an $870 billion economic stimulus bill, you know, within 30 days of the time that President Obama was sworn in. And it was very acrimonious, and it was done with Democratic votes because they had the votes to do it, and a decision was made by the leadership of Congress and the White House. We've got the votes. Let's do it. And the same is true a year later or a year after President Obama was in office. They passed a major health care reform with just Democratic votes, no Republican votes. And you've seen since Republicans have been in control, they've tried to change it, haven't been able to do it. But if that had been a bipartisan bill, you wouldn't see the kind of debate that's going on today because Republicans would have been a part of it. And those kind of calculations where the majority party thinks, well, we got the votes, let's just move ahead, do not prove to really be the kind of legislative process that enables good legislation.
Is it thus the law of unintended consequences that it just further creates that polarization?
There's no question about it. And obviously, we've seen it played out with health care over the last several years with Republicans in control and trying to do away with Obamacare unsuccessfully. And the truth is the economic stimulus bill did help the economy. It bailed out the auto industry and really, really helped our economy. And our economy is very strong right now, in part because I think President Obama and his economic people and the Congress laid the groundwork for it with that bill. But it would have been better to do it in a bipartisan way.
Let's go back to the tax bill for a moment.
Right.
We have the Republican version that's out there. The Senate unveiled its version of it.
Right.
There are some differences. One, a significant difference, and one I've been talking about on the air a lot here about the issue of deductibility of state and local taxes. That the House version limited deduction for property taxes to $10,000. The Senate version eliminates all state and local tax deductions.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge hit on Illinois, New York, and other big states. And I don't know if that will prevail or not. I know that some of the New Yorkers have already, Republican New York Congress people have already complained bitterly. I think you'll see some of them vote against the House bill when it comes to the floor this week. And then we'll see how that plays out in the Senate. But there are other provisions that are very onerous. I just think it's going to be difficult, I think, in the end to reconcile what the House and Senate does and have a bill signed by the president by the end of the year. I think that's a lot of wishful thinking.
Well, and the Senate has, for Republicans, there's less margin for error. They can only afford to lose two votes. And
exactly.
That in its of itself seems fraught with a great deal of difficulty.
Well, and then you look at what's going on in Alabama with their candidate. It's conceivable, Rick, that a Democrat could win the Alabama Senate seat. And if that happens, then they're in a real predicament because, there's not the margins that they need. And some Republicans are going to defect just simply because of their angst with the way the bill is going. And frankly, obviously there's some Republicans that have a lot of angst with President Trump.
Well, and we talked about, in Aurora, we talked about, how Jeff Flake has spoken
right.
out, how Bob Corker, Corker an early Trump supporter, and then, here again, a consequence of the tweets, where
right. exactly.
little Bob Corker and, these guys aren't seeking re-election either, and there seems
right.
they have more freedom, I think, now to say things than if they were still coming
right.
back.
Right. Well, and the other person that's obviously going to be a problem for President Trump is Senator McCain. The two of them have been going at it this weekend as President Trump visits Vietnam, and Senator McCain has been tweeting about the idea that he never mentioned any of the prisoners that are being held.
Human rights violations.
Exactly. And so you can see that Senator McCain... there's no love lost between President Trump and Senator McCain. So you add that to the Alabama calculation. If a Democrat were to win that seat, you add that to Senator Flake, Senator Corker, and then, obviously always the wild card is Senator Collins, Susan Collins, a Republican from Maine, Senator Murkowski from the state of Alaska, a Republican. So this is a very, very thin margin that they're playing with in the United States Senate when it comes to tax reform. And you saw it played out with trying to eliminate Obamacare, and these Republicans work their will, and we still have Obamacare.
We're speaking with former U.S. Transportation Secretary and former Congressman Ray LaHood. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pierce from the Chicago Tribune. I'm speaking with former U.S. Transportation Secretary, former Republican Congressman Ray LaHood of Peoria. And, Mr. Secretary, we've got a call from Ron. Ron, welcome to the Sunday Spin.
Good morning, Rick. Mr. LaHood, a real quick question. Some of the political divide that we see in the country, I want to get your opinion. Is it a lot more social, cultural differences or economic anxiety? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ron.
Well, it depends on the issue. I think when it comes to issues like health care, immigration, those are issues that are, you know, issues that that affect all Americans. And I think they're more political issues than maybe social issues when it, you know, comes to other issues like the social issues, whether it be abortion or issues like that. I mean, obviously, those are, you know, issues that people pay attention to in a different way, and there's a different audience for those. So it really depends on the issue and you know what how people are talking about resolving it.
Well, but what about as far as, for example, social media? I think that's something that has helped exacerbate.
Social media is playing a big part. I mean, we see how the president communicates with his supporters, goes right over the established media and uses tweets on a very regular basis. So uncommon for a politician to do that, but it's been effective for him. And obviously, social media plays a big role for politicians communicating their point of view or their message. It's turned out to be pretty effective. And we see what happened in the last election when, you know, Facebook and other social media have been involved with the election process and the hearings that are going on in Washington around that.
I wanted to ask you about these elections on last week on Tuesday, and with election of Democratic governor in Virginia, Democratic governor in New Jersey, almost a Democratic overturning of the Republican majority in the House of Delegates in Virginia. Obviously, you know, people pay attention to the Virginia, particularly around the Beltway area, just because of the proximity to it.
Right.
But also, you know, is there any lesson for Republicans that can be drawn from what happened there?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the turnout, Rick, in Northern Virginia, and probably most listeners that are listening to your show, and most people in Illinois probably haven't seen the analysis, but the analysis shows that a huge number of women turned out to vote. There's almost a complete flip of the Virginia House of Delegates from Republican to Democratic, which hasn't been that way for 20 years. A huge number of people came out, and most analysts, political analysts, believe that these voters wanted to send a message to President Trump that they don't approve of the way that he's been operating for a year. They don't approve of what he's been saying. They don't approve of his policies. And it seems as though many of these people didn't vote, but believe now that the only way to send a message to President Trump and his administration is at the ballot box. And they did that. And they turned out a lot of Republicans, and it was a clean sweep for Democrats. And I think now Republican leaders and Republicans generally are worried that this could carry over a year from now, as we have 435 House members up for election, U.S. House members, and a third of the Senate, that there's going to be some payback here from people who just think the president has kind of gone off the charts in terms of what he says, how he says it, and how he treats people, and truthfully, the fact that his administration has really only one significant win this year after being in office, and that's the nomination and approval of Supreme Court Justice Gorsuch, and they spent all year debating Obamacare and didn't accomplish anything.
Well, and when you look at Northern Virginia, and that's the suburbs, basically.
Right.
And you
right.
obviously you know Illinois well, and you know these Republican congressional districts that are outside Chicago suburban districts. But
yeah.
but when you look at the Collar County results of 2016, those traditional Republican counties went for Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump. So already there was kind of an ominous sign there for some of these Republicans. And, you know, one of them obviously being looked at carefully is Peter Roskam. And you accelerate that with his role in whatever may result of the tax bill. It would look like there's some vulnerability potential here.
Well, and you know, Hillary carried by a very small margin the Commonwealth of Virginia. As you indicate, she carried the suburbs of Chicago, and yet and still, a huge number of people came out and voted for Democrats in Virginia, and it's likely that if Trump continues with some of his tirades against people and the way that he treats people and the way that he talks, that will energize people a year from now. And I think it's going to be very difficult, Rick, for the Congress to pass and have on the president's desk the kind of tax bill that they're talking about by the end of the year. These are complicated legislative issues, and I just think it's impractical to think that they can reconcile the differences between the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate by the end of the year. This is going to spill over into next year, which obviously leaders don't want, but it's complicated.
That's former U.S. Transportation Secretary, former Republican Congressman from Peoria, Ray LaHood, author of Seeking Bipartisanship, My Life in Politics. Mr. Secretary, as always, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Rick. Really appreciate it.
We'll be back with more right after this.